Welcome to the next episode of We Have a Microphone, where no change in the situation of having a microphone. Though, I will say, this microphone took a trip all the way down to LA and then back up to San Francisco. And then it also took a trip from San Francisco to Toronto, to a different country, and back, all with the intention of being used to record an episode. And yet, it was never used for that. So it just kind of took a trip on my carry-on. But it made it made it safe.
We're in Max FunCon.
Yeah, Max FunCon. Like a podcasting.
Yeah.
Which it didn't even dawn on us going to this conference that we actually had a podcast.
Yeah.
I'm Hampton.
I'm Michael.
And today we're joined by our good friend, Sean
I want to hear you say it.
Yezewski.
Yeah, you did. That's good.
You did all right?
Yeah, my family doesn't say that, but that is the correct way to say
what
it.
What does your family say?
Not correct.
Yeah. Wait, but I mean, like, as long as your family says it, that makes it correct, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah.
That's the American rule.
Yeah.
Anyhow, welcome.
Thank you.
You're also the star of a podcast with a beta name.
I think the name is, Justin will have to correct me, Small Church Basement Show.
You gotta speak up into the microphone. Come on, we're friends. Okay. Yeah, you can do it. You got water.
Small Church Basement Show.
Small Church Basement Show. All right.
Are any of those things correct?
I don't think so.
I guess it's a show.
The show.
And I guess
show.
It's small? I think or is the small church basement?
This is the premise because of our podcast, which is in beta for 10 episodes, which is basically guaranteed it will never exist.
That's like
ever
a whole
exist.
Season.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's basically we
it's like a whole true
social
detective.
Contract. We're going to talk about things, but we're not committing to make any of these things public. So we can talk about risky subjects, maybe. But then actually not take any risks.
Which is why this week on Wham Show, we talk about AIDS.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's a risky.
Well, no.
That was the first risky topic I could think of.
Okay.
I did.
I'm actually going to pour them here.
Oh, I'm going to pour them.
Oh, wait, Michael's taking. Right. Sorry, Michael's getting our drink ready.
So this is the point of the show where I make a cocktail.
There you go.
And
then we marry it? Is that how that works?
Well, so if we don't have a guest, I sometimes Google, or I do a Twitter search for what's the deal with, and then comment on that. It's a section of the show that has never made anybody laugh, and is not very successful.
Do we have a laugh counter? Now I'm picturing that like vote thing for when like the politicians give speeches.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like laughs going up or down. I want to see that right now. Tell me we have that.
Well, this hasn't aired yet, but there's probably none.
So you're telling me we don't have the technology.
Yeah,
there's no way to know how many laughs we're getting.
We both don't have the technology.
Future laughs is always the answer.
I would say, like, temper expectations about number of laughs.
What are your futures in? They're in laughs.
Yeah. We do have about 100 listeners per episode. Okay. So, hello, 100 listeners. Right. They're our best friends.
Okay.
So, Michael, what did you just bring us? You just brought a tiny little glass of what looks like a clear liquid.
It is.
It looks like water.
It doesn't
smell or taste like water. So I, Sean loves tequila,
that
and
is true.
I thought we would try a mezcal. So we have been doing a little thing at our local bar, our favoriteest bar in the world, Third Rail, and we've been trying all the liquors they have. And what
I like how you say it's a little thing, because we were just there and I saw all the liquors.
It's not a little thing. No, it's been going on for a while.
Yeah, it's a lot of.
I want an estimate on the number of liquors on that one.
Oof.
I don't know. Somebody did the math at one
point. Oh, really? I did not.
It's over 200, I would say.
So they had a bunch of mezcals, and this is one of those mezcals that they had, and it was my favorite one. It's from the Del Maguey group, or I don't know, distillery. Well, it's not a distillery.
So they
go to a bunch of villages in Mexico, and each village has a unique, you know, flavor and processing thing, and they basically bring those or bottle those. And this one is the Chichicapa, which is named after the village.
Right, so
and,
each village traditionally in Mexico would make their own liquor.
Right.
So, like, they just have, like, a house downtown or wherever, a small village, and they'd, like,
have
all get
own.
Together and make their own stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, they'd have their own, like, bushes of...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Agave.
Agave.
Like, and
wait,
they're all local.
Yeah, yeah. But like tequila has to be very specifically from Jalisco or like right, something.
I was going to say those.
So this is outside of.
But then this is like more wide. Mezcal can be made anyway.
Okay.
And they smoke it. And
right. So this is like just what a village would make.
Right.
And then this guy who's a Mexican guy comes in and like gets them to make a little bit more than they normally would.
Right.
And then bottles it. So this is actual
Chichicapa Del Maguey.
Actual Mexican people drink in villages. And it's delicious.
It's very good.
And I think
it's very smoky.
It's our most expensive thing we've ever had on the show.
I think it is, actually.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's nice, right?
Sorry,
if I like it and I'm not into tequilas or tequila style.
So for me, for those who are not familiar with mezcal, bourbon is to scotch as tequila is to mezcal. At least that's how I think of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mezcal is a lovely new addition to my drinking because I only learned of it about a year ago.
So, yeah, as less than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really nice. I like it.
I'm just enjoying it. I'm not even talking, I'm just like...
It's really nice to like compare all the Del Maguey brands. So Del Maguey has a very distinctive wine bottle...
Yeah, it's a wine bottle that's very green. So if you're ever at a bar, you see a bunch of green bottles.
And they have some like gorgeous colorful... like labels, very not monochromatic, but like a block colors kind of stuff. But it's nice comparing all the different villages and
that's good.
What they have. Anyway, so that's our fake cocktail. Whatever.
That's our lazy cocktail.
I know. It's more like just a
drink. Now I'm going to study up so next time I can do a proper cocktail on the show.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cocktails. We're not anywhere near running out, but, like, it is starting to get a little bit more difficult to find something new.
Yeah.
Michael's giving me a look.
No. I have a list of cocktails.
Could
that
you see
I,
the look on that?
I'll verify it. I'll be witness.
No, it was, you're looking at your phone for some reason.
Well, I got
and
a
you
text
were,
message.
Sorry, no, you're in the middle of a sentence.
I got a text message.
Right, and then you're just talking... little bit slower and I'm like, okay, well you can stop talking and then check your fucking text messages or you can participate in this podcast.
Michael wants it all. Do you think I'm a qualified host for this show?
No.
What's the only qualification that we have for doing the show?
We have a microphone.
That's it.
Yeah.
So yes, I will check my text messages while it's going to be.
I hope it was good.
I think so little of our listeners that I thought that I could talk slower and read a text message.
Nope. Well, you can think less
Hold
of
on,
our
question,
listeners.
Was it one of our listeners texting you?
I could have been.
I don't think he listens.
Okay.
Well, you should tell.
It's Eric who will be a guest at one point.
Definitely.
Asking how much longer we'll be at Third Rail, the bar where they serve this.
Okay.
So, and I feel bad. I'm like, I'm already gone.
Yeah.
Sorry, Eric, if you're listening to this podcast, I can respond now.
This is exciting. It's like a real non-live, slow Twitter feed.
Yeah,
like,
really.
Interact with the show, maybe.
It's like if...
Maybe you should just text Hampton all the time.
In some weird dystopian future, rather than sending letters to each other, we'll send like little USB sticks with MP3s.
Are you podcasting now? Shout me out, though, if you are.
We did get a message to the show.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. So I gotta find it.
He's going through our Twitter feed right now.
I get a lot of tweets.
Yeah, he does.
So...
Oh. Wait, don't look through your tweets. Look through Wham Show's tweets.
Was it directly to Wham Show?
If it's not, it doesn't count. Because we have a Twitter that you should follow, at Wham Show. Anyway...
Good story.
So
what's your podcast about?
Well, in theory, it's a beta and it's secret, but then Justin was talking
about it. There's no such thing as beta with a podcast.
Nope.
I think beta just means we are the only listeners.
By the way, Justin is a listener to the show.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You're
Justin
a co-host.
Listens.
So
Shout out, Justin.
Justin.
Co-host.
We're about to talk about this.
Yep.
So the first episode, we talked about Justin's love life.
Yep.
Always a meaty subject.
We had a lot to say. We blasted through an hour. I have to say, I think we were almost hit an hour and a half. Like, and we could have gone more, but we're like, all right, let's stop it here.
That's a lot of time.
It was good. I liked it. I didn't like hearing my voice, but as long as I never listened to the show,
we're
fine.
Don't want
to
listen to it.
So the first one, the premise was going to be, we're going to talk about the IPO for Fitbit. And then that took a sharp left turn into Justin's love life. The second one, like a month later, after the IPO happened, or did it happen?
It did.
I'm so upon all the news.
Because we were at, again, I feel like I should get commission for this, but we were at Third Rail,
okay,
the best bar in the neighborhood, and a bunch of people wearing Fitbit shirts came
out. Oh, yeah, they were all getting totally trashed.
Oh, you're back in the conversation, Hampton.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
What? I can take it. I was thinking.
You never think. You speak. Yeah, so a bunch of people from Fitbit were in the bar, and yeah, so the Fitbit IPO did happen.
Did happen. Justin and I did spend our second episode talking about that, although I will admit we did not have the technology to figure out or the patience to figure out how to make a podcast remotely together, so we pretty much just recorded each of ourselves on the phone with headphones, so we each have half the conversation. But now I want to make that into the format, which is only one of us talks the whole podcast, and it's like a question-answer without the question thing that makes it more fun.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't know how that works. We've been invited onto a remote podcast.
Wait,
and...
Oh, yeah. Come on, Michael. So cute.
Oh.
So, I'm going to patronize right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patron. No, like, sorry, like, whenever I do an interview thing, they make me record myself separately from the Skype. Or whatever.
Oh, so you do that.
Yeah, and then I send the file.
I'm sorry. When I said we didn't know what we were doing, I meant we're fucking pros.
Better than this show.
It's true.
So we did it on GarageBand. I had my mic set up that I used for recording, so I looked like a radio person. Looks like an old-timey mic. It was intense. I won't go into it. I will summarize that podcast. Fitbit sucks.
Yeah.
All the wearables right now are toys.
I don't get what...
Yeah, yeah.
So I have...
You have a Fitbit?
I have another one. I don't really want to repeat the Fitbit episode. I refer the listeners to the episode that they cannot access.
Where can they go download this episode?
TV. Fake episode.
So the thing I'm wearing that the guys are pointing at is an Amigo with two eyes. It was a Kickstarter from some MIT guys. Look it up. I respect the way they've engineered this way more than Fitbit. Like, it's modular. Mm. You can pop it out. There's different bands. It's waterproof. I can take it swimming.
That's pretty good.
Like, they made a lot of really good decisions. It doesn't do everything, but the way that they've sort of done the things they've done well, way more impressed. I bought a Fitbit, didn't like it.
Hmm.
I'm keeping this one. So that is my summary.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yep.
We bought an Amazon Echo recently.
Oh, yeah. Is that on? Can we talk to it?
Yeah, we can.
Let's do it.
I don't know if it will pick up on the microphone, but we can. Ask it something.
Alexa, are you alive?
No, I'm not alive.
See?
There you go.
It works.
It's pretty useless, I think. I don't use it that much. I'm like, basically I ask it if there's a Giants game going on, which means that my commute is going to be shit. So that's what I do. And maybe if we live somewhere with weather, I'd ask it about the weather, but we live in San Francisco.
Alexa, what's the temperature tomorrow?
Here's the forecast for tomorrow in San Francisco.
Alexa, stop!
So you can say Alexa, stop at any point.
But I like to say it like the meme, so. Stop!
It sounds like a Bob's Burgers.
S-T-A-A-A-H-H-H-H-H-H. Stop. Stop.
It sounds like Linda.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically
Linda Belcher. Yeah, so Hampton likes it because Hampton likes to shout, "Hey Siri," often.
Yeah, look, let me compare. Hey Siri, what time is it? Hey Siri, what time is it? See, it's not working.
Right.
Alexa, what time is it?
The time is 5:25.
Yeah,
that works. Fucking
nailed it.
Just
nailed it.
We have clocks everywhere.
was it? Hey Google, what time is it?
Well, we don't have that. That only works on Android, right?
No, I have it on the app, but it doesn't fucking listen to me all the time. What I'm saying is, I want major corporations with incentives to destroy my privacy to be listening to every word that I say.
It's true. Makes sense.
I'm even recording it and putting it out there. Maybe Google will listen to this podcast and then respond with what time it is.
You guys, you saw the things about the Android dreams that Google released?
Yes.
Those are kind of interesting.
The neural networks things?
Did you see the porn ones?
We
should probably describe to the audience what we're talking about, by the way.
It's true.
Right. Yes. No, I did see it. Shut out of conversation.
Okay.
So Google uses neural networks, which are a type of algorithm that kind of theoretically-ish act like human brains.
Right.
Which is, the more they see something or get some data, they'll kind of assume it'll be there again. That's the way I describe them.
Yeah.
So Google Images uses this for like facial recognition. They use it for categorization, all sorts of things. And so Google kind of basically turned it backwards so that from nothing, it told the neural network to produce an image. Right? No?
I thought it was...
I'm getting one look.
I didn't actually read the articles because I don't do that anymore. I just look at pictures and read the titles because I learned that's basically as good as reading 80% of the article.
So I thought they did something where they gave an image and said, recognize in this image things, and then they like fed that into a loop. So it was like, see if you see any faces here. And if they saw a face, they would like point it out as a face. And then you feed that back in. And then the next thing is like, oh yeah, that looks more like a face. And it was more like...
Okay, so it's a feedback loop.
Yeah. I thought they like fed in images and it just made them look really creepy because it was like, I think there's a face here, and they would accentuate that with every loop.
Maybe we all saw different things.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Anyway.
So I saw something where it was basically weirdly dog's faces were appearing everywhere.
Yeah. Because I thought like the thing was, oh, this looks like a dog face. Like, I'm going to accentuate that. Like, I'm going to feed that back in.
Then there was, like, a month ago, like, the eigenvalues of, like, the faces or whatever. And, like, these are really fucking weird looking, like, tesseract. Okay, that's a transformer thing.
Yeah.
Tessellations.
Tessellations
of, like, faces or whatever. That was pretty cool, too.
The tesseract. That's what powers Google. Right. That's how it answers your questions.
We know. Tesseract. Everyone in Silicon Valley knows
it's
that.
An open secret.
Right.
Wait, what's the thing from Marvel, from Avengers and stuff?
Oh, the stones, whatever it is.
Well, they have the four stones, and there's also that thing that Asgard keeps. It's not the Tesseract.
I don't know if it's...
Or is that the...
It might be.
Are we confusing our...
We can get taken to town by listeners.
So what happened was they fed a picture in, and then recognize a feature, and then modify the picture to emphasize that feature. So that's what they did.
Okay.
And then you get these weird, like bizarre landscapes and stuff like that. But they did a porn one.
Of course they did. They also did a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas one.
Oh, that was trippy.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't like that. But if you look at this porn one, it's just like...
Oh, everybody's face is a dog face. It's a
everywhere.
Bunch of...
I don't know why Google loves dog faces, but they just recognize... And so there's this weird, like, beast.
Because people take a shit ton of photos of their dogs.
Yeah, that's true. But it's trippy and it's really uncomfortable.
That's pretty amazing, actually.
And there's, like, snakes and canaries. There's a lot of animals. I think this is, like...
This is really... Yeah,
I think a boob turned into a fish or something.
Mm-hmm.
This one's more obvious.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of...
gentlemen's
lobsters.
Penises.
Yeah, it looks... It's lobsters or crickets.
Oh, yeah.
That one's just really creepy eyes. Everywhere there's eyes. Anyway.
Yeah.
That just got...
Sorry, the last one was a butthole.
Yeah, that was a little bit more explicit.
Too far.
Yeah.
The beginning ones I thought were pretty.
Yeah.
It was a little lighter.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing where the Google computer vision is racist?
Yes.
No.
I've seen a bunch of my friends tweeting about that.
So they decided pictures of black people are gorillas.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's fun. Yeah. I feel like we can't talk about one without the other. Computer vision is only as good as the people who make it.
It's true.
And the assumptions that you put inside of it.
Yep. It's pretty terrible.
Well, I feel like this has also been the last month where a lot of people have learned like how horrible their Facebook friends are.
Yep.
It's true, actually.
Yeah,
but,
like it's
no,
been a
okay.
real...
So I'm hashtag blessed. In that most of my friends have been really supportive of gay marriage, like taking down the Confederate flag, a lot of stuff that's happened. And I haven't, I've seen a lot of people Facebooking or tweeting like, oh, a bunch of my friends are really terrible, but I haven't experienced that myself, which I'm like, on the one hand, I'm like, yes, I have a really self-selected bunch of friends.
Self-selected, very liberal.
Super liberal.
Yeah,
I'm always on the fence about that. I don't know. I mean, clearly there's an answer where I would enjoy using Facebook more. But I don't know. I kind of feel like it's good to have people who don't agree with me.
Yeah, I feel like that's
even though it like
angers
me.
Yeah.
I don't
I just mute. There's like two people on Facebook who I've muted. and because they were mad.
But yeah, like, I muted my elementary school best friend today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was this about the court thing this morning? Or what was it?
No.
What
was no, it was it was this black guy ran in traffic to and like pulled a Confederate flag off a truck.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a truck and some guy like ran across the street and like pulled it off and ran back.
Yeah.
And so there was some article that was like, watch this hero remove a Confederate flag. And so this guy who's African American posted it and was like, you know, not a hero, like this is larceny. And then like basically all the comments that followed were really dark places. Like one of his friends that he didn't seem to disagree with was like, liberals rename everything in this world. Now a hero is a person who defaces things or something. And I'm like, and then like it got, and I just was like, oh shit, this is the world you're living in. And I know that building bridges is a good thing, but I'm like, I don't want a bridge to this land. Like, I'm just gonna cut this bridge off.
That's the tough part though, right? It's like, how much of that can you listen to versus how much are you gonna say?
Well, I'm not going to say anything. Like, well, I'm like, do I jump in on this one and be like...
If you don't say anything, is it better or not? Right. I mean, there's this whole psychology around, like, arguing with people who are... So there's people who are opposite viewpoint, but then weak or strong. And, like, the psychology of arguing with strong people is actually not strongly arguing against them. It's weakly arguing against them.
Right.
Sort of like chipping away slowly. You're like, okay, maybe I can mediate my thing. Yeah. It's like, that's really hard in these things that we feel so strongly about. It's like... I don't know. I don't use Facebook almost at all. So it's like I can't say that I'm doing this stuff, but I like to think that I would, express my opinions in a way that's like at least somewhat middle of the road so that other people are exposed to it, except I don't do that. But in theory, this is what I would like to be.
But this guy's done he was in the military and he's like done a lot of like don't take our guns away stuff too. And I'm like, today was just the line. It wasn't that was so offensive or anything like the one. I was just like, I was like, you know what? I just like I don't think we're gonna find a middle ground. Like I just don't think we are.
This is hard, dude. But I agree. I grew up in Iowa. I know this Facebook game, right? But it's like you've seen all the graphs where there's the political parties and they've drawn the graph on the voting things and like it basically looks like a cell dividing.
Right? Yeah,
like,
they're
becoming more and more and more and more polarized. I don't think that's healthy.
No. Nope.
And I think most people agree with that, but it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to make any change.
But I'm like, it's really hard for me if you think that, like, it's defensible to have a truck with a, like, sorry, if you're an African-American guy who thinks it's totally cool to have a truck with a Confederate flag on it, I'm like, I don't even know where to start the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's happened to him in the last 20 years when we haven't seen each other when we were 15, and I'm like, I think you went a very different world than me, and I'm like, I think when I was 15, I would have thought that was weird, and we were friends, so I'm like,
I remember growing up and learning that, like I didn't grow up in the South, but I remember learning that Confederate flags are still a thing, and I was like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
Like, how is that still a thing that people get away with? Like,
growing up in the South, I mean, some of my family members had them, but my parents are just like, it's like a weird racist history thing. Like, it's not cool. But, like, we're not going to make a fuss about it either. Yeah. Like, it's stupid.
It's funny, at my university in England, I had a friend who was American, and I think someone put a Confederate flag up in a window. So this is in Oxford, England, like someone puts a Confederate flag up at the college. And I'm like, so my American friend is like, holy crap, that's weird. Like, why aren't they telling them to bring that down? And in my head, I just kind of associated it with America very loosely. I just assumed it was kind of an alternative to the American flag. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it seems fine. And, so it was crazy that that was my first education.
That was an alternative to the American flag.
Yeah. I mean, sorry.
I guess don't step on me, or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Don't tread on me. That's like a...
Top on my list of American, history classes was not the Civil War and the nuances of American racism. Like, it was just super weird to me to think, like, oh, there's this
symbol that I grew up in America. I don't think I understand American racism.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
I grew up in the South. I do.
Okay.
And it sucks.
Okay. Yeah. I think we all agree on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. No, it's I'm just like, yeah. I don't know if I'm ready to have a conversation with somebody who doesn't think that it's not a great thing to have a Confederate flag. I'm like, we lost a war a long time ago, speaking as a Southerner. Like, it's offensive to a lot of people.
Right.
I just don't get, like, what we... Like, what are you gaining? I don't understand. Like, we...
Right, that's
it
the
happened.
Other thing.
We're not saying it didn't happen, but we're talking today. Today, not then, not a history book. So I don't know. And I'm like, I can't even. Yeah, I kind of get where I'm like, I don't. We're just on a totally different wavelength. Because like I will try to do things to not offend people. Like that is the thing I prefer to do.
Yeah.
Like. I have offended people in my life, and I will probably continue to do it, but it's a thing that I actually, all things being equal, if somebody was like, you know, like, using the word hello is offensive, you should say hey, and there was some actual reason for it, I'd be like, yeah, fair enough, I mean, I got lots of words, like, this isn't a, like, I'm okay with that idea, that doesn't, like, I'm assuming there's some sort of reasoning behind it, but I'm like,
Facebook,
I'm willing to go for it.
I got in a Facebook fight with someone, which is rare for me, but they were talking about sexism in tech, and they're like, hey, you know, it's fine, we can keep using the word guys or dudes or whatever, like, it's so hard to switch to, like, everybody or people, and I was like, and I think they even actually listed it, and they're like, even folks, it just doesn't come out as easy as, like, it's one syllable.
Right, that's...
Folks is fine.
Yeah.
It's super easy to use. It's like... People are just kind of in some of their patterns, and I think they just needs to be discussed.
Yeah, no, definitely, and yeah, I feel like my parents do a lot of the I don't see why I should change my ways to say you all instead of you guys, and I'm like, it costs nothing to you really to change that, and yet it can mean so much for someone else. Like, I know. Yeah, my mom's been like, oh, I don't know why I should, you know, change pronouns for someone. And I'm like, because they fucking, like, she's like, oh, would you change my pronouns if I asked to be called X? And I'm like, yeah, of course I fucking would.
Yes,
like,
good.
If you really wanted that, then yeah, like, that's fine. That's no skin off my back. Like, I don't know.
Anyway.
That's pretty.
Hashtag politics.
Yeah, I know.
Well, make sure to send your hate mail to.
That's true.
Dev/null.
Yep. @gmail.com.
@gmail.com.
Oh, poor dev/null. They're going to get so many hate emails.
Yeah, that's fine. They won't listen. Nerd jokes.
So today, I was in the city. Now I'm living up not in the city. So it was a treat for me.
You're like a hillbilly.
Yep, I am like a hillbilly.
Yeah.
I'm doing the whole ranch thing. We could talk about that. But... Today I was in the city at a nice place that Justin recommends, which is his favorite bar that I'm going to talk about, and it'll become not so much of a secret.
I want to go.
Sorry,
that.
Justin.
I really
do. You're going to like the cocktails there. It's called The Interval. It's part of the Long Now project. It's very interesting. That place is awesome. Been there several times. We can talk about that place for a while. But the thing I'm excited about is the bookstore that's also in, was it Fort Mason? So Justin has described this place as his favorite used bookstore in the city because it's like, a non-used bookstore, and that it has all the sections you'd expect, but full of used books. So I found a bunch of older sort of volumes that were in the science section that were pretty, I mean, antiquated isn't the right word, but 60 years old, like old enough where it's like the ideas are not new or that correct anymore, but it's also kind of fun to read them and be like, oh man, that's how they thought about this stuff, right? And it's pretty fun. But the thing I was excited about is I read this book that my friend had, which is Jacques Cousteau, The Silent World. It was the first book with underwater color photographs printed in the 1950s, and the copy that he had from his brother was in immaculate condition. So naturally, I took it camping with me. It's fine.
Okay, for
all the book nerds, you can, like, it's okay.
Yeah,
this is the happy story.
Shit.
The book's fine. I kept it in the Ziploc. Yeah, we got wet when we were hiking through the coast, but it was fine. But it was an amazing book.
Yeah.
It was very cool. So I've been sort of keeping an eye out for this book. So I went there and they had it. They had a 1954, I should go, oh, it's in the car. They had a 1954 print of The Silent World. It's not quite as good condition as my friend's. His is nicer, but it's in pretty good condition.
Yeah.
So that made my week. Like,
that's
I'm
really
excited
awesome.
About that.
Yeah.
If you've ever, so my favorite movie is Life Aquatic.
Yep.
If you've ever seen it, all of the things you think they're making fun of are like basically in this book. And so you should read the book and you'll be like, those motherfuckers
caps.
Were crazy.
Red.
You remember the part where he was like, oh, I'm going to like get revenge and throw dynamite at it? They did all that shit. Like, they had a war office where they had to like justify what they were doing because it was during the war. Like,
okay.
Hey, we're scuba diving guys. We're in the water. It's cool. We're part of the war effort. So like, oh, okay. No one asked them to do this shit. They're like, hey, we should make sure we're doing some stuff so that if anybody asks, we can be like, yeah, war efforts.
Yeah.
So what did they do? They're like, hey, let's figure out how dynamite affects the human body underwater.
Wow.
And so they would just go underwater and set dynamite off closer and closer until they started passing out. And they're like, all right, when you're that close, you pass out. So that if anybody comes, they're like, hey, man, we figured out how close dynamite makes you pass out underwater. Yeah, we're helping the war effort.
Actually, pretty useful information.
I feel like that's a Mythbusters. I feel like dynamite travels a lot, obviously, a lot better in water because of the,
waves,
liquid and compression.
That would
and all
be
that.
A very good Mythbusters.
Yeah.
But they did it with themselves. They just
that's less that's pretty crazy.
They're crazy. It's a good book. I recommend it.
Okay.
You can no longer find it at this amazing bookstore.
Because you bought it.
Because I bought it. Whose name I forget.
But it's near the
in Fort Mason.
Yeah, I want to talk about The Long Now, which is a project I think is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah,
It's all about like thinking about not next year, not 100 years. It's like 1,000 years or something.
Millennia.
Yeah. From now, and what can we do right now to, you know, not a time capsule, but like kind of like influence or just make art or something that
like
is,
what's going to be on that timescale?
Right.
Yeah.
I know Brian Eno is pretty big into it, which is pretty cool.
He made the art installation behind the bar,
which
I will try to describe to you. It is like a diamond, and it's got to be some sort of display, clearly, but it looks different. It doesn't look like... It's either high enough fidelity, but it doesn't really look like pixels, but it's some sort of algorithm thing where it's constantly changing. It's never the same twice, but it's also slow enough that you can't see it changing.
Mm.
So like every
cool.
10 or 15 minutes, you're like, oh, it's different.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Hmm.
I love it.
And there's a lot of like super long organ pieces I've heard of, in some church in Germany, they're playing this organ piece that doesn't change for the next 800 years. And, you know, it's a pretty cool idea. I really like it. But they have a bar. And I'm like, that's pretty temporal.
I'll be honest. I wouldn't have heard about this if not for the bar. I mean,
Justin mentioned the bar,
I saw a blog article about it. I was like, oh, okay, put it together.
Yeah.
But that's a good way to raise awareness. They have people donate.
Hmm.
So you donate and you get your own bottle or your own flask of gin or whiskey and they put it up in the ceiling. That's your bottle that you drink out of.
That's pretty cool.
So...
For
millennia? I like that idea.
No, let's be clear. It's hip as shit. And I love it. It's nice.
It's like really far away though, right?
Ford Mason?
From us.
Eons. Millennia.
It's less than 7 miles away.
Ford Mason's like the other side of the marina.
I was over there, and I came over here. It took me a half hour in my car.
Ugh.
So.
Jeez. I didn't even know that was possible to drive half an hour in the city.
Yep.
Well, actually, we've been to the outer Richmond.
So you really got to know The Long Now. During that, right?
Boo.
I'm still in support of my own joke.
Well, good for you.
I just realized that I have one color stay, but not another one.
Oh, and you were at court?
I went to court today, and I...
You're lucky. They were going to just go through.
Luckily, they dropped all the charges. But,
yeah, I know.
Thankfully. Yep, one side.
Well, you look like a fool.
I like to bring intellectual conversations to the table.
Yep.
About how I have one.
Actually, I'm wondering if I should buy a pocket square. Wait, sorry, we're talking about getting, like, oh, don't laugh. No, I was actually...
Sorry.
I was actually wondering that, because I don't
no,
have...
No, I think the answer is no.
I don't have a pocket square right now.
I think yes.
And I'm going to a wedding soon, and I'm not wearing a suit.
So I'll be honest, I'm picturing the Parks and Rec episode where Aziz is holding up the swaths of six different samples that are clearly not all black. There's charcoal, onyx, midnight... And I'd forget the other three.
Right.
So that's what I'm thinking about. Mm. But I still support it.
Mm. No, I have like a nice tie to wear at this wedding, but I'm not going to wear a matching jacket and pants and like shiny shoes. So I'm worried that like my outfit is not going to be fancy enough for a wedding without a pocket.
So slacks and collared shirt, no jacket.
But no. I'm going to wear like a proper button down, as you call it in the US.
Okay.
But I just feel like a pocket square would elevate my outfit.
I think it would make it look like a joke.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like you're an old-timey sea captain.
Well,
he's British.
Or a dandy, a 1920s dandy.
He can pull it off.
I feel like I can pull off a lot of things.
If I do it, it's an affectation. If he doesn't,
right.
it's fine.
Just, it's
nobody
just regular.
Knows you're British anymore, Michael.
It's true. It's so bad.
Sorry.
You're good at an American accent. Say...
Just talk normal.
No, I know. No, so everyone... Wait, who we bumped into someone recently and they were like, oh, I didn't even know you're British. I'm like, oh, I hate you so much.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty terrible.
Sorry.
No, I've heard you do an American accent. That's what I want to hear.
Oh, yeah. Well,
how about
I mean,
them
it's,
cowboys?
It's just like a really bad Southern accent. Oh, like, hey, y'all, I want some barbecue. Let's go to Dollywood. That's all I've got at that point.
What about a New Yorker?
I'm walking here. That's all I can say though, that one.
That's all they say though.
That's true. When's the next train to Brooklyn? There you go. Where's a bagel? There you go. That's all New Yorkers say. All right,
next time for your podcast,
Comedy Gold,
I request that you two
flip accents.
Run through the script of like coffee talk
coffee?
From like SNL.
I don't know that.
Michael's not familiar.
Okay.
Oh, I can do a Minnesota. Oh yeah. Let's go to Canada, eh? No, wait. That's Canadian. Because
well, they kind of say that.
Oh, they do that too. Minnesota.
Yeah, a little bit,
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
So that's all my accents that I have.
This is
so good.
This is the,
everybody do impressions.
Yeah.
We don't edit.
Well, one time.
I'm Christopher Walken. Yeah.
No. He's like.
See, that's not Christopher Walken.
Yeah, I don't know. Next time we're going to have you all do British accents. All the British accents.
Oh, governor.
Right? Okay.
I'm the queen.
So what was
get off of air.
Right, so that's Cockney, I guess.
What was the one with, like, they had superpowers as a show?
Misfits. I didn't watch that yet.
And then there's the girl, whatcha? That was the one I was trying to get right.
That's pretty East End, I think.
Okay, but she said it much better than I could. And I was I was impressed. I couldn't get the
like,
inflection right.
I think it's funny if I asked you to do a Manchester accent.
I don't know what that is.
Or a Liverpool accent.
I'm gonna read a book.
Love.
Okay, so
that's
then Hampton's got love.
I'm just
love.
Going after
love. So I'm thinking Brett Domino Trio.
About love.
Oh yeah.
Love.
I think he's Manchester. No, he might be Scottish. Geordie.
I will forever be impressed that you identified me as Midwestern from one word.
Oh, I can't even remember the word.
No, I'm trying to remember the word.
I know there was one tell. Oh, it was the shibboleth. That's the no. Sorry. Shibboleth is a word that immediately identifies you as from a particular region. And there's so many cool examples of these. They used it originally in the Bible, but it's
to
like...
To murder people or not murder people.
No, they've
way.
Been
was...
traditionally used to murder people. There's like one, like during the war and you'll... Oh, it's like... I can't think of any... It's like a British person trying to like say pasta. You add... ER on the end, and so if you like have a perfect accent, American accent, as long as you say pasta, it's going to be a weird thing on the end.
Hmm.
So shibboleths are amazing, and I love them.
I remember the word.
Oh, go on.
It B-O-T-H. So you guys say it first.
Oh,
I'm gonna say it.
Yeah.
Both.
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 It's like a really
it's a very
UL. I don't know. I don't know where it comes from, but that is a tell.
Yeah,
both.
No, yeah, that's yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think one of them was parsley. So good. not the British word, but it was like a Haitian Dominican war on Hispaniola, and like if you ask a French person to pronounce parsley, whatever that is in Spanish, they just can't do the R's the same as you can in Spanish. So like that was the word they used. It was like say parsley.
I mean, I love the premise that you're gonna kill someone based on this.
Yeah,
like.
Oh,
this is like, this
sorry,
is like a mind
the,
hack.
In the Pacific,
they would just insane. They would just grab people, take them. If you said
and
it wrong, they cut off your head.
Like the Pacific Rim was Lollapalooza, which is super racist, but like the R L kind of merger in Japanese meant that in the Pacific Rim in World War II, you could say like you could have a perfect American accent as a spy, and if you asked to say Lollapalooza, you could not. And so, yeah. Sorry, shibboleths are amazing. I love them. Despite all the murder.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Terrible,
I mean, like,
terrible
I'm just
stuff.
Like, as an engineer, thinking through the logistics of this, and it's like, okay, if you have a spy and you make him or her say it, all right, maybe you're going to be able to tell. If you have a line of people and, like, someone gets it right, I mean, come on. Like, maybe the next guy doesn't get it quite right, but then they're like, oh shit, like, I know.
Why don't
they
let them hear each other?
No. And it's
Sean,
like,
we can engineer this a little better. You're like coming
like
to the room.
What, right. What was it in Band of Brothers when they did like Flash Thunder? I think it's like a, like, you don't know this? Like when you hear rustling in the thing, in the bushes or whatever, in Band of Brothers, which is the only experience of World War II I have.
Okay. Right.
They'll say Flash. And then if you're like legit, whatever, they'll reply Thunder. And so I'm guessing you would say like Parsley. And however you don't
see, that's
say
the thing. It.
It
seems like it's more like not. It's out in the open. It's like you're making these calls in more time and open spaces. Maybe you run into like a handful of people.
Well, so the Jews were using it for ethnic cleansing of non-Jews,
right? In the Bible,
yeah. Okay. So the original term was more like we're going to go house by house and ask people to say the word.
Okay,
I don't remember what the original.
It wasn't the same as a flash thunder.
Okay, that's
no. It's like the pronunciation of what. I'm trying to look up the original shibboleth.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
It's the part of a plant containing grains in Hebrew. It's like an ear of corn. And in the Book of Judges, the Ephraimites. I don't know how to pronounce
that. You just
got
killed.
I did,
yeah,
pretty much.
I think,
and
right.
So you went across the river, and then you wanted to kill the refugees and the Gileadites.
You just died again.
Told each refugee to say the word shibboleth. And so the Ephraimite dialect did not contain the sh sound. Hmm. So they would be killed. I don't know who the Jews in that situation.
I think they both were.
Really? Okay.
Or maybe. No, but normally when...
Wait, it's...
Anyhow,
yeah,
David
anyway.
Klein also listens to this, so he's currently...
He can
having,
probably tell us.
He's having a knip shit. Is that right?
He told
He'll
us...
tell us later
He
on.
Told us all the... all the... Oh. Sorry, there was one in the Troubles as well. As to whether you... so the Troubles is the Irish conflict in the UK and Ireland. And apparently, if you call the town Derry or Londonderry, that was a shibboleth. Because I'm guessing, I haven't looked it up, but I'm guessing
Londonderry
is the UK.
Nationalist
one. Or loyalist, sorry. And Derry would be the nationalist.
The more you know.
I'm trying to think
anyway.
Like, what are other shibboleths you could use in different things. Like,
yeah.
It's only by pronunciation there. Right.
Well, I think it's supposed to be pronunciation. I
want to see the list of like shibboleths that Americans do in other countries that make it obvious that it's
right.
Americans. It's got to be a long list.
Yeah, but then I mean,
everything.
At one point you have to say like, okay, is it just dialect versus a shibboleth? Like, but I bet there's some like Canadian American ones. I feel like it's when you have a close cultural interaction or something, or like a dialect that's very similar. I don't know. bullshitting here, but like something that's like a just a, you need a small subtle difference. So I don't know if like
so it has to be a good indicator, right? It can't just be you're mispronouncing everything. It has to be indicative.
It has to be like
common across people.
Yeah. So I mean, it would have to be something that's common to all Americans.
Right.
But a Canadian would not say it.
Right.
Oh, that's impossible.
Right. Well, about maybe like. I mean, I feel like I've.
You know, those Americans say a boot.
Well, I'm Minnesota, but those are fine, I guess, maybe.
So it's like 80% of Americans sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting.
Well, no, so I know that I got one time shibboleth'd by a comedian in Europe.
This is a great story.
And
I like this
so
story.
So we went to, where was that?
It's it Leicester. Was off Leicester Square.
Leicester Square.
Leicester.
Leicester. That's it. Oh, I just got
Leicestershire.
I
heard someone once call it Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, God. Oh, that's amazing.
That's like
beautiful.
Five deaths in that one word, right?
Yeah,
there.
Pretty much.
But so we went to this comedy club, and the comedian gets up, and he's like, I'm a comedian. I'm from America. Like, you know, everybody always hates me. Like, there's never anybody here from America or something. Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, there's nobody ever in the audience
who's
America.
So he's trolling you.
And then,
right.
So I, in
no,
my,
he's like, is there anyone here who's an American?
And I, like a fucking dog whistle, just go, woo!
And he's the only one.
I'm the
so
only
we're
one.
We're in this comedy
club
of about like 100,
yeah.
150 people. This guy goes,
woo! I couldn't stop myself.
I can't even make that noise, dude.
No, you can't.
That's
woo.
The American noise. That's an anti-ship.
I was not born with that gene.
Yeah.
I would survive.
So,
yeah.
So the guy is like, he's British, and he
like
drops his American
back.
Accent. He's like, those assholes will always do that.
Yeah.
The Americans in the crowd will always woo.
Yeah. He's like, the easiest way to find Americans in an audience is to put on an American accent, ask them to whoop. And him to
and
fell
it
for
it.
It
totally worked. And I felt like such a...
Yep. And I had to sit next to that guy for the rest of that comedy set, which was excruciating. And he kept on, like, pointing at you. Like, at points in the set when he referred to America, he'd be like my American friend over there.
And I'd just go, woo! I can't help
well,
it.
You gotta double down.
Yeah.
I get that. I get
that
part.
It was pretty terrible. Anyway, I feel like on that note, that's a nice ending.
It's a nice wrap-up.
To the episode.
Well, Sean, thanks for
thank you very much.
It's been fun.
Episode weird
for Dumma Gay and Shibboleths and
various genocides.
Yep.
We've covered
Google racism.
Yeah,
a lot of
sad topics.
Not understanding Facebook political shit.
It's true
with crazy people who don't listen to this podcast. I am
that's
not worried.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you're listening to this podcast.
Yep.
Not going to be a controversial.
Yep.
Be like, oh, I have the same problem. All right, until next time, we're peacing the fuck out.
Woo!
Woo!
I can't even do it.